All right, if you want to open your Bibles to the book of James, we're going to be looking at verse 22, but this morning, going over, I want to include other verses because of one word, and I will emphasize that word. The text would be James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding himself in his face in his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The word doer. Words kind of capture my attention sometimes when you read through the Word of God. And that word doer mentioned three times within this one chapter. And there at the very last, doers. And that's very interesting because going back to Matthew and coming all the way through, it's only mentioned six times in the New Testament, the word doer. And it's mentioned of those six, four times in the book of James and three times in what we've just read right here. And so we're going to spend a little time talking about being doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Using an illustration here about a church that gave every member on a Sunday morning a dollar bill, and this had to be way back in time to give a dollar. And they said, we want you to use this dollar bill this week and give it to someone, number one, that you feel a dollar would help them in regard to a need. You might want to give your dollar to a charity. Or you may want to encourage someone by giving them a dollar. Or there may be someone who has family away, and this could be used in a long distance call to encourage a Christian member of a family or a non-Christian member. And so that was done, and it came back a very positive, very good experience for a lot of folks. I thought that was unusual. I don't know if they gave it while they're sitting in a pew or they went out the door, everybody that dollar, and asked to use this. And I wonder about not the dollar. After I had read that story and it being here, I just thought to myself, wonder how many things that go through us as individuals that we have opportunity to do and to help and to encourage others that we let go by. And so in the reading of this passage right here, what jumped off in my mind was this word used three times. And I really rely on that and really reinforce that word, doers. Doers. Doers within the family of God. In college, they offer a practical and a fieldwork course. And the purpose of that course is the theory of practicing. Get in and practice. Not just if you're going to be a preacher, the practice of speaking to a group. It is the practice of doing other things. And I'll never forget, there were teachers, two in particular, that influenced me a great deal. And one of them was doing introductions. And I thought it was really striking to me. He said the longer the introduction for someone, the less importance that person. And you think, huh? He said the shorter the introduction, the more important that person. And he said, here's the example. And he used the example, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. He didn't go through and say, well, he went to college here, and he did this, and he did that, and he served this, and he served that. You just say, here's the President of the United States. And you know, I've thought a lot about that through time. Introductions. You go someplace and they give an introduction to someone. Well, the introduction here from James is there's really four times in the book of James, but in this short passage, three times doers. A positive, doers of the word. The next is of a negative, and it is the lack of being a doer. And then in the final, verse 25, but doers of the work, this man will be blessed for his deeds, doing good deeds, the doer. And so I want us to think about our own personal life and say, am I a doer within the church? Am I a doer outside the building that contains the church this morning? Are we doers? Do we look for opportunities to do and to help individuals? And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along. In the Bible class, I had Brother Tom Holland, and he was a doer teacher, and he taught us about, don't put a name on your sermon until you have established a text. And then after the text, an introduction. And he said, 3 points is all you need. And then you need to just close it out and extend your invitation. And I never forgot that. He said, don't say this is going to be entitled Christianity in Action or whatever the title may be. He said, you establish, and here's the text, and you work on that text. And you know, I look back at those teachers that I was blessed to be with and how the simplicity of how they dealt with and the things they did. And then you read a passage like this, and it basically just jumps off the page at us that we as God's children are to be doers of the work. And it's obvious to know what the work is. It's obvious to see the good works that we do here. And yet there are more opportunities out there for us to be used. And hopefully in a few weeks, probably middle of May or a little bit after that, I would love to see us as a congregation come together on a Saturday morning and do as we did a few years ago, and that's knock every door from down around Forest Park all the way to the river this way and from the river right over there over to the river here, because it kind of makes a horseshoe, I think, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't it? And that would be, we just declare this, our Jerusalem. And we'd go door to door and we'd have items that we could give to individuals and talk to them and to share with them and to encourage them. And success can come from that. By being a doer. God blesses hard work. Now you think about that. He blesses those who are workers in the church and who serve and who are doers. Now you think about the power of that word. You say, well, I'm getting a little tired of hearing it. Well, I just want to emphasize that this is something that he challenges us, and I take it as a command. Be ye doers of the work. That's the Word of God speaking to us. Well, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good. Let us do good. A friend of mine told a story to me here a while back that his birthday, we were talking about, you know, he had gone beyond me in birthdays and everything, and I said, you know, Pat Casey, I'm glad you've had more birthdays than I have. I hope that I'll be challenged now to try to catch you one day. But he laughed. He said, you know what I did on my birthday? And I said, no, sir, it's no telling what you did on your birthday. he said, there was a gentleman. I went down to the building as I normally do. And he said, when I got to the building, there was a gentleman there, and his big old truck was in our parking lot and everything. And here it is. It's my birthday. And he needed assistance, and he needed help. And he goes on to tell the story about helping this gentleman and the success of that helping. And he said, you know, it doesn't matter what the day is and what it's all about. It is the doing and the helping of others. I could have said, hey, man, this is my birthday, and they're getting ready for me. I just came down to check things here and see about mail or anything. And then I'm going back, and I'm having a birthday party. I hope you understand, don't you? Well, you don't understand too well when, you know, you've got a problem. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I'll go ahead and tell the story, and I may retell it. But I heard a gentleman down in Atlanta one time telling a story about people in his congregation, and he had two doers, and they just took it upon themselves to do good works. And their good work was, every Thursday evening, they'd get a can of gas, they'd get an air tank with air in it, and like Nashville, they had a loop that went the inner loop, and they'd drive that inner loop, then they'd hit that outer loop. And what they were doing in the evenings there, they were looking for cars stranded on the side of the road. And then pull up behind the car and get out. Maybe a flat tire, maybe they were out of gas, it would be. And they would be doers to help them. And they made it a point, at the end of that help, they would know about them, and they may be on their way back north, or they may be on their way down to Florida, but they may be local people. And they had emphasized to them, where do you go to church? We're church folks, and we're out trying to do good deeds. You know the story of the Good Samaritan? And they just have that opportunity while they were working and doing to be doers of the work and not just talk about, but they did. And they went on to tell experiences and stories, and people who literally within the realm of Atlanta, they'd have opportunity to go follow up on and see about. You know, there's all kinds of ways that we can help and do and take the challenge of doing for others. Some things that you can do this week is just pick up the telephone. For years, we had a group of ladies at Madison. There were probably 25 widow ladies, and we'd send them a list about every 2 weeks and rotate those lists around, and all they did. And you say, all they did, yeah, because it was pretty full, is call the shut-ins. Now, you think about that. Some folks say, you know, my phone rings and rings and rings. But you know what? Some folks, the phone doesn't ring. And you can be a doer. You can. That's just a little way that you can pick it up and call and say, I missed you at church. Or, I was just checking on you to see how you're doing and how things are. Or you can just write a little note. Phoenix, they wrote notes out there. And in Memorial Drive, they wrote notes. They just sent little notes out. We haven't seen you the last 2 weeks, or we haven't seen you in a week. You may have been on vacation. Just wanted you to know that you're not forgotten. And none of us want to be forgotten. Because I look out here and basically, the folks that I'm seeing will be in their pew, and I'll know. And I can just look out and just glance at the audience. Mike can glance out. Many of you can. And know this is where they sit. Where are they today? What has happened? And we can just, not because we're assigned, but we can do that because we want to be doers. And say, hey, we missed you and we wondered where you were at. You can use a pencil and a piece of paper and write somebody. I mean, that's very important. And in our church paper, there are men who are serving their country. We can drop them a note. Now, those of you who've been in the service, you know what a joy it is to get a piece of mail in Uncle Sam's Army. And I hope it wouldn't be like my old Sergeant Groff. He'd just call out your name, Slate. He'd throw it. It'd look like a frisbee going out through there, you know. Of course, you want to get in, you know, that's mine, you know. Mail call. Wanted to hear from home. Wanted to know what's going on. And then when weekends came, there'd be a line from here to that door waiting to get on the payphone just to call home, see about Mama. It's important. You know, we all need interaction. And we have folks. I'll never forget my dad saying, Norman, you see these towers, and I don't mean this any ugly way, but I mean, think about it, that come here and they know why they're there, and they're looking down the road and they're waiting on the Lord to come. Now you think about that. And we need to be conscious. See, Glenn and Barbara, the wonderful work that they do, and not to embarrass them, but to say, that's a great work. And we all like to know that people remember us, and they will do things to call, check on us, send us a note. We need to be doers. Now, this is the mild way. We need to be doers outside the building. And as you have opportunity to do it to all men. Do it to everyone. You know, it'll make you feel better. You'll look back at the end of the day and you'll feel good about the things you've done. Give $1 or $5 or more to a needy person and then verbally encourage them in some way to help people. I didn't say you had to do this every time. Some folks are worthy. There are some places that I go frequently and the same person's there. You know, and they're working. Whether they need it, I don't know. But you see, we can't always determine or interview. We just need to do what we can do and what we feel led to do many times. Sometimes we don't feel comfortable maybe in helping an individual because there's evidence around that maybe that's just what they do. They just work situations. And we want to help people and do good to those. Rejoice with them that rejoice. You think about the second part here, that there are those folks who have a new baby. And oh, when that new baby comes to church, or when you go to the hospital to see the mother and that new baby, they don't keep them very long now. I mean, it's kind of in and out with babies. Used to be you stayed a while with your child there before you actually went home. But that's something you can do, is to show that interest. And when a new baby or a baby or little ones come in here, it's interesting to see the attention and everybody drawn to that and to see and to pay. But you see, when a visitor comes, it's just as important that we go to them and say, hey, I don't know if I've seen you here or not, but I'm glad you're here and I want to shake your hand, tell them who you are, and then find out about that individual. It's a great opportunity. There may be people in here who have a new home, and you're excited about being in that new home. You know, they used to, years gone by, I know Dad and Mom would go, somebody would buy, it wouldn't be a new home, it'd be a new place for them. They may be moving from an apartment or something into a house, and they'd be I forgot what they called it. You know, everybody brought a can of food or something. What? Housewarming, thank you. It'd be a housewarming, and they'd bring things in and do things. Are we that functional within the church? Do we do things like that now to encourage? You say, oh, they don't need that. It's not, it is the thought, isn't it? Women don't need flowers, but it's the thought. Huh? Isn't that right? Amen, yeah. You bring a flower in, oh, for me? No, it's for the lady across the street. I just thought I'd... No, you know, we know things that we can do that are good, and we can encourage. And so we can look at whether it be a new house, a new baby, even a new car. I bet you go out in the parking lot after church and you'll look around, you see cars and say, I ain't seen that car here before. Hey, that's mine. That may be the person right there. Be my luck and say, I don't like it. That's an ugly car. That's my car sitting right there, you know. But anyway, you think about things to encourage and talk, and a baby comes, or a family comes with little children, and how exciting it is, and what a joy it is, and just so many things that we can do. And then he says in that same passage right there, weep with those who weep. Sometimes we let those who go through grief and loss, and it hurts. And incidentally, that'll give me an opportunity to share something with you. Many of you may remember Lillard and Dot Duke that went to Madison for years and years and years. Lillard died some years ago, and Dot's health began to fail, so her daughter came and got her. She had the one daughter, Linda, and moved her down to North Carolina. Well, Dot died at the age of 94. She had been down there probably 10 years with her daughter there in South Carolina, but in North Carolina. I can't think of the name right now, but and she brought her back here because that's where Lillard is. And you know, it was amazing yesterday, the audience and all the people were there. But you know what stood out to me is the people that they had helped and done favors, from babysitting, taking care of children, while these young couples went out and maybe visited, or maybe they had just a night out they needed and to get away, and they took care of those children and looked after them, cooked Meals on Wheels. She taught Sunday school, fifth grade, I think, for many a year at Madison. And you think about folks who have done things like that, and if we're not careful, we'll lose sight. And our Christianity needs to be in action to encourage those and say, yes, I remember when you, and I remember this. And so it's important that we encourage one another. Well, it's like one of the illustrations here, and we could relate to that right here within this congregation, knowing about Bill and Sharon and what they have experienced and how difficult times have been. And it would be a great opportunity for us to call. You know, most everyone has a machine that you can leave a message, you can write a note and encourage them. Man, they've been on a real roller coaster there for a while. But you know, thank you, the good Lord and the prayers that's been offered, you know, things are leveling out now and starting to come off the runway and fly, and the progress that's been made, it's been amazing. You go in to see the brother one day, and you go back 2 days later, and he's up, hey, how you doing? You know, and you think about, Lord has answered prayers there. And yes, he works through the folks at Vanderbilt and the medicines and the doctors and the technology. Yes, he works through every bit of that. But to see the progress that's being made, and I always like to say, boy, prayer, the power of prayer in helping and doing. Christianity is action. It's action. Be doers of the word. Now don't forget, that's not a word that's very common within the scripture, but it is within this passage and it is within the book of James. And James is a great book and a very productive book there. Some whole churches accept as a congregation to put into practice this Romans 15. They have letters that are sent to new babies. They have letters that are sent out to those who've lost loved ones. They have acknowledgments that do. Some congregations do that. Many ministers do that. Many deacons do that. Elders do that. And that is to see. Now, we got the hearers, those who sit and they hear. And doing a little work, I ran across this in one of the books, and I thought it was pretty good. He says there's four kinds of hearers. There are the hearers who are sponges. They suck up good and bad together. Now that's one type of a hearer. He said there is the sunglass hearer that enters on one end and comes out the other end. And that's all it does. And you flip it and it does the same thing. It just back and forth, back and forth. Well, there is the strainer type. We know what strainer, when you pour that through and it keeps the big stuff on top and lets the other run through like that. And the other is similar to that. It is a sieve. It's a little finer and everything that goes through, and it's kind of like the chaff. It keeps the good and lets the bad go through. And so you think about those applications of being a hearer, not just a doer. You hear, but you put into action. And that's an important thing. And we have access to so many good pieces of avenue. I call it pieces of avenue. A note, a phone, a text, and how we communicate this. It's amazing, at least in my lifetime, to see how available everybody is and how you can use that computer and all the information that you can pull up, and how with one touch of a button you can send information into a major calling list that goes out. Technology and what we can do with it and how we can enhance the work of the church and to get things out to people. The challenge also, when you look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and 14, when he talks about exhort the brethren, men and women, warn them that unruly, the feeble-minded, but support the weak, be patient with all people, work with people, encourage people, be patient with them. We don't know what people experience and go through sometimes and the difficulties they have, but we can be patient, we can be loving, we can encourage, we can help. We get a whole lot more done that way. But there are various things that we can do to help and to encourage people. Some other little side notes here. You think about all the facilities, and I didn't list them all, and I don't have them down here, but you start about DuPont Avenue, and you'll see clusters of senior saints and high-rises and apartments. Just there. Now, if you go all the way to Chippington 1 and 2, and then you look in the middle of that, it's an enormous thing of the people who are really stacked into these facilities. And many of our people live in those, and many of people being in those are anxious to see folks. And you know, there was one I hadn't been in a while, but I went the other day because we have Lady Miss Ambrose has been attending here, and another one or two that knew about there. And that's right beside Goodwill there at Rivergate. And you can park your car at Goodwill, you know, and just walk across. They don't have that much parking that I'm aware of. And you can just walk right across the street, go right in. And there's several floors of folks right there. And to go in and see them, oh, you know, it's so great. What you do to encourage and to help. The challenge that's there before us, but we've got to take action. And many times we don't take that action or the initiative to do. I know I ought to do this. Well, let's do it. And I'm not wanting to embarrass anybody, but one of the good folks was old Doc Pettis. He wrote a lot of folks. He sent notes. I mean, he was a champ at that. He was really good. And he was very good at being down here. He and Woody went out together many a night visiting the visitors and knocking the doors and seeing about people. And see, that was a team of men going out. And that's what we need to look at. Sometimes we let those things kind of fade out, but we need to have some rejuvenation here. And we're going to be able to, and before long, say, okay, here's some things. Widows, help you to be able to make contact, maybe by phone, that don't drive and do. Others who are shut in who would be happy to call and do and to make friends. Those of us who can get out and see about people, to see about them. See, we've got to learn to see about our own folks, but in the course of doing that, we've got a lot of folks out here in this community that do not know Jesus Christ, and they're really struggling, and they're looking for some answers. And we've got some answers here. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and for Him to work through us and use us. And yes, we have great benevolent work here, and we help a lot of folks. But there's more. We're a small congregation, but we can do something. We need to follow up in areas. And so there's a lot of little side things that we can do like that that are very important to the work here. And we're looking at helping others, you know, let me live from day to day in self-forgetful way to help others, to do for others. That's the motto. And if we can get more folks involved in doing, that's what we want to do. Okay, I'm going to have a prayer. And let me see. I think that four deceiving words, but we'll save that for next week. You know, there's no happier people than an obedient Christian. You think about that. Being obedient to the Lord and doing what God expects you to do, these words coming off the page and getting into your life, no happier people than Christians who are obedient. Father, we are thankful for this day, thankful for the beautiful day, realizing that the days change. There'll be windy days and there'll be rainy days, but there'll be beautiful days for us. And yes, Father, there are opportunities that await us out there, whether the weather is good or bad. And help us to be doers and not folks who just talk about doing good, but actually implement and put that into our lives. When we see someone who is absent from the body, to find out and to let them know that we care. Father, give us again, as we have said many times, courage and faith and conviction to live right and to do right. In Jesus' name, amen.